We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. So my point is that it's Carver Hyde with me tonight, 844-843-6879. So, you know, all I know is that Knight went down to Texas Tech, and I thought he did a good job down there, the best he could do with what he had. It wasn't Indiana, right? I mean, it was, let's face facts, Texas Tech basketball, I think, has been in great hands with Beard, and I think they've had a great program. I really do. And I think Bob Knight helped build it. And I think Pat, it took a step back, and then Beard took it two steps forward. Fair enough, Carver High? Are you down with that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I feel like it played out exactly the way that you said. Bobby probably could have went a little bit longer, but he wanted to get Pat that job, and now Texas Tech, once Beard went there. Now I'm interested to see what happens now that Beard's gone. We'll see where Texas Tech goes from here. But I agree with you 100% on what happened there.
Well, they're going to go two steps back is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because without him, you know, there's just no way that it's going to stay where it is. And plus, the kid McClung's leaving. He's been, you know, saying he's going to – he said he was going to go back, and then I think he changed his mind. He's going to go into the draft. I know he's been talking about that and G League or whatever. So, you know, they've been a really, really good team. But anyway, you know, let's face facts. Knight played at Ohio State. He was a national champion at Ohio State. I know he played with Havlicek and all these guys, and he didn't matter that much on those teams. But he won three national championships at Indiana. He went to the Final Four five times. He won 11 Big Ten championships. He won an NIT championship. He was the coach of the year in 87 when I was there, when they beat Syracuse in the national championship game at the Superdome. Three-time AP coach of the year, 75, 76, 89. He's the only coach to ever go undefeated in college basketball with the 76 Hoosiers. Eight-time Big Ten coach of the year. He also got the Naismith Award for his contributions to the game. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the college and regular Hall of Fame. He coached and won gold at the Pan Am Games where he had problems with the cops, and he won the gold medal in 84 with Michael Jordan and the rest of the, you know, maybe greatest team ever. And, you know, obviously his demonstrative behavior, it stands out and people hate him. That's fine. People just absolutely hate him. As I said, I thought, and I'll get your opinion of this, Carver High, when he went to ESPN in 2008 or whatever, when he was done coaching and he started doing college basketball as an analyst, I mean, he did it all the way through 2015, I think, about 6 years ago is when he stopped doing it. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Farrell on the Bench. So when he did that, you can't even argue. No human being can argue with me that he wasn't great at being a college basketball analyst, the way he described the game and taught the game to people, you know, viewers. If you watch college basketball on ESPN, in my opinion, truly, without a doubt in my mind, no hesitancy, they've never had a better analyst, ever. Not one. Not even close. That would describe the game and teach the game to a viewer that had no idea that they could learn so much listening to a guy basically teaching and coaching while you're watching a game. telling you exactly what's happening in a game and what the coaches are thinking and what players are doing on the floor and what the offense and defense is trying to do on the floor. No one, all these guys now do it. They try to be entertaining. They all try to be fancy and cute. He just coached and taught, and you can't even argue it. And I thought Digger was great at it too.
I thought that Bobby was excellent when he went over to ESPN. I thought he was good doing the games. He gave you information as the analyst, which is the main job, of course, as we know, but he didn't get into all the crazy stuff. He gave you the X's and O's, and he gave you a little personality. I thought he was very good at it.
So when he was at Indiana, he endowed two chairs, one in history and one in law. He raised $5 million for the library, and then that fund was eventually named in his honor. When he went to Texas Tech, he gave $10,000 to the library. Now it's $300,000, the Knight Library Fund. And, horrible people don't do those things and don't do the things he did for players, getting them jobs, paying for Landon Turner's hospital bills, building Landon Turner a paralyzed house so that he could be fitted for that home. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It's too easy for people to hate Bob Knight when they don't know what they're talking about. And then I got a guy telling me I don't know what I'm talking about, and I worked for the guy every day for 5 years. Shut up. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I don't want to talk about this much longer, but, you know, Carver High, and this is no reflection on Marcus. As I said over and over, I love Marcus. He's been on my show forever. I love him. But, you know, we've never had that that confrontation before about Bob Knight. We've never had a reason to talk about him. But I'm telling you that, it bothers me greatly. You know how I've defended him since you've known me. He has meant something to me in my life. I felt, I honestly, truly believe being around him shaped me as a young man and developed Machado and Tatis go back to back with bombs to left center, back to back. Tatis first, barely over the wall, and then Machado like 25 rows deep. Back to back, and they got a sellout tonight at Petco. I mean, they are drinking beer out there in San Diego like nobody's business. There's not a seat in the house. It is packed, and they are kicking the Reds' ass now, 2-0 in the seventh with back to back shots. So, anyway, my point being is that you've known me a long time, and I've always defended him, and it's meaningless because so many people hate him. And it's like I said, it's just too easy to hate him. And you could argue till the cows come home. People will never understand what I know to be true. So all these people just think they know him because they saw him throwing chairs and cussing people out and allegedly choking players, Neil Reed, and being abusive and cussing out refs and cussing out media people. And he is nasty. There's no denying that. And there's no denying that he's foul-mouthed and can be repulsive and can be, sexist, and you name it. I mean, he treated everybody bad. Men, women, children, students, it didn't matter. But I'm telling you, I saw a different side of him. And that was a guy that cared about people, that made kids go to class, made them get an education. The importance of education to him was priority number one, without a doubt. Winning was not his priority. It was an education. He was all about education. He was all about being studious. He was all about showing up, being responsible, being on time, learning, being accountable, being dependable, and making something of yourself in life. When 100% of the kids that play for him graduate and end up with successful careers in their lives in other fields, doctors, lawyers, businessmen, whatever, insurance didn't matter. No matter, you know, he could have been a, you know, anything. You know, you could have been an animal doctor, whatever the hell, a veterinarian, but it didn't matter. As long as you got an education and made something of yourself, that's what he wanted for the kids that played for him in life. Not to go pro, not to be in the NBA, not to play basketball. He always said basketball would end. It was always about education. And he made sure that any kid that ever went there, they all graduated, 100% graduated, 100%. And then I knew him as a friend. I knew him to golf and fish and hunt and stuff like that. And like everyone that was friends with him loved him. He was the funniest guy you were ever around in your life. I mean, you go golfing with that guy, it's the greatest 5 hours of your life. I mean, he's the funniest dude you've ever met in your life. And he's the smartest guy I ever met in my life. Like the stories that he would tell. And a lot of that came out on ESPN when he told stories, basketball stories. It was just phenomenal. And so for me to hear people talk about how much of a horrible person he is or that he's this or he's that, I'm sorry. I just rambled for, you know, a half an hour about all the things he did for people and all the money, millions and millions of dollars that he dedicated to everything from hospital funds to libraries to schools to, you know, you name it, building homes for guys that are paralyzed. I mean, you know, that's just, I don't care what anybody says. That's not a horrible person. And he didn't do that stuff to win accolades or cheers from the media or from social media or the public or people that he doesn't know, because I can guarantee you he don't give a rat's ass about anybody that he doesn't know. I told you, if he doesn't know you, you can forget it. He just doesn't like people. But if he likes you, if he's your friend, he's the best friend you could ever have in your life, bar none. I never met anybody like him as a friend. What he meant, like, how do you explain, for what reason on God's green earth would that guy still call me 38 years later and call me names and have conversations with me and call my radio show for no reason whatsoever other than he's a good friend? And he called me asshat, and I guarantee it wasn't asshat, for the entire time I've known him, he's called me that. My nickname was asshat. And that I shouldn't be allowed to have children and no woman would marry me and all this other stuff. But he was funny. And he meant that as humor, not as a mean person. I'm telling you, if he liked you, he was the best friend you could ever have. If he didn't like you, he's your worst enemy. And so to me, you know what it is? People that say he's a horrible person just have no idea what they're talking about. They judge him based on media perception and on video clips and on watching him cuss out refs and throw chairs. And that he got arrested by the police in Puerto Rico. He's not taking any heat from some cop in Puerto Rico. He's too smart for some cop in Puerto Rico. So he got out of that jam too. He got arrested and he got out of that in 5 minutes, and he turned that on their ass too. And he still won the gold medal. So you can hate him all you want and call him all the names you want. You just don't know what you're talking about. It's that simple. You're talking out of the side of your mouth because you don't know at all anything about what he's really truly about. It's that simple. Since you've known me, how long have you seen me defending this guy? Honestly.
Always. Always.
What did you think of him as a like a coach, and when you were watching him as a kid, and because you were young, but what did you think when you saw this demonstrative, screaming, yelling guy in a sweater, wearing blazers and then sweaters and coaching in the Big Ten? I know you had to have seen him. What did you think of him? Were you scared of him? What was your opinion of him?
I mean, you thought. I mean, I was obviously a little younger, you know, in the '90s when he was still at Indiana, and at the height of, you know, the thing with throwing the chair and all that stuff, you just thought he was kind of crazy.
Crazy.
You know, like, look at this. This dude's nuts. Like, that's kind of, as a kid, that's where you look at him and you say, this guy's nuts. You don't really know at that age, you know, all the other, the ins and the outs and the other stuff that he was a part of. And you knew that he was a winning coach. You know, you knew that part of him. But you knew him as a winning coach and somebody who, you know, had a very short fuse. That's like a public perception of him.
I mean, I you have got to be kidding me when you look at his record of coaching. 902 wins. He won 70% of the games that he coached. He went 902 and 371 in all of those seasons. At Texas Tech, he won 62% of the games he coached. And people said he didn't do anything at Texas Tech. You know what you would do in a Division I big program at any of the Big Five, any of those Power Five? If you won 62% of your games, you know what you get? You get rich. That's what you get. If you won 62% of your games, if you won 62% of your bets in Vegas as a sports bettor, how would you live in Vegas, Carver? You think you'd have a big house?
Live very large.
Yeah, you would. How about 70%? How big would your house be then? Or should I call it a conclave? No one knows what they're talking about when they argue with me or anybody else about Bob Knight and Mike Krzyzewski. I can't stand Krzyzewski, but the one thing I like about him is Bob Knight taught him everything he knows. That I do like. I hate Duke, but I love that Knight taught him everything he knows. You know, Carver High, I feel like, you know, the Padres, I asked you today if they were overrated, and you said you didn't think so, and that they just had a bad series in Coors. But the thing that I'm, like, focused on is, and I've said this to you over and over, is how well they play at Petco. I mean, you know, they had that 9-game stretch where they hung on stand, they won every game. I mean, they are tougher at home. You know, in my opinion, one of the toughest teams to play in their building is them in the entire league. They go home tonight. They get the home runs from Tatis and Machado. They're in the ninth right now with an out, runner on first, 2-2 count, 2-0. They lead the Reds. And Melanson on the mound. So elaborate on it for me, because I don't think their record's that impressive. Like, blow me away, the Padres. Ooh, I'm so scared with their whatever, 38 wins, whatever it is. You know, there's better teams. And, you know, you already scratched off the Dodgers are better than them. Fair enough. But do you think, like, the Padres are better than the Mets and the Cubs, et cetera, teams that are, you know, playing really well that are in first place or around first place or tied for first place of those teams? Because the Padres are in third place and they're, like, sitting whatever it is, 5 games back. I don't think that's the end of the world. But I also think it's going to be really hard to catch the Dodgers when you're, you know, at some point the Dodgers are going to, in my view, pass the Giants. It's going to be the Dodgers and Padres world. Now, if the Giants go belly to belly in that race and are in it till the bitter end, then the Padres have problems.
I will say, I mean, we're in the middle of June now, and the Giants, you know, I think I'm with you. The Dodgers will catch the Giants. The Dodgers will win the NLS. But when you look at the Giants and the Padres right now, the Giants have a 7-game lead in the loss column on the Padres. Like, that's substantial. Like, they got a 7-game loss column lead on them. And this isn't April anymore, May. I mean, this is you're starting to get deep into the year. And you look around the National League, and there are other teams that have played better than people expected. I mean, I don't think anybody thought the Cubs were going to be 39-30 right now. The Cubs have played a lot better than people thought. And the Brewers have played well, too. And the Brewers
they got a better record.
Right there. Yeah.
The Reds have less losses.
Reds have played well. And they've, of course, the start of this series this weekend between the Reds and the Padres. So here's your problem. If you can't catch the Giants in your own division, you're going to be sweating because only two teams make the wild card. We're back to the old way now. So, I mean, if Milwaukee and Cincinnati and Chicago and the Mets and the Phillies and all these other teams are going to be in the mix the whole year, that's even more that the Padres are going to be jockeying with. And the Giants are clearly the biggest surprise, but they're not going away. The Giants just aren't going away right now.
Your boy just got a double and moved Votto over and I got to see who that is. Barnhart had to hit into the corner, and he got slid into second. Votto made it to third. I mean, Joey Votto is as slow as a fat chick in Central Park walking her dog.
On his back.
I mean, he literally was running. I mean, I thought he was running backwards. He was running so slow. But they got runners at second and third with one out now in the ninth. And they, you know, obviously they're on to Melanson. So one out, runners in scoring position, second and third now, and hanging with a two-zip lead. They're not that impressive. 21-14 at home is not the greatest thing since sliced bread that I've seen. When you look at National League, like, I mean, the Dodgers have a better record than them at home. The Giants have a better record than them at home. The Cubs have a better record than them at home.
Sure, the Mets do too, right?
The Mets have a better record. The Phillies have a better record. I mean, it's not that impressive. And you're right. Only two wild cards. And I'm here to tell you, you know, we heard French Tingler today on Coast to Coast say, we got to turn it on now because they're 6.5 out. So I thought it was 5. It's 6.5. I mean, they're 6.5 out right now. And I'm here to tell you, when it comes to, you know, let's say hypothetically, the Dodgers won it or the Giants. I mean, there's one that's going to get in. If the Giants go belly to belly, they're going to get one of them. And don't tell me that Milwaukee or Philly aren't going to get the other one. If it comes down to it, it's going to be only one of them. And there's a lot of teams vying for that one spot because in their own division, they're not getting one of them. At this point, they're not getting one of them. They have to get the other one, and the other one's going to be a problem.
No, it's true, and I'm looking at the wild card right now in the National League, and they're a game out of the second wild card at the moment. These teams have played well, and a couple of them, they still have to prove themselves that they're going to be able to stick around, but I don't think here's what's worried me about the Padres, because Tatis is clearly been there. Like, we thought that Tatis, with all these injuries that he had, was eventually going to be done and he wasn't going to play anymore. That dude continues to hit bombs every single night. So Tatis hasn't been the issue. Machado's been good. I think their starting pitching has been kind of the
double play to end the game.
Wow.
Their
starters for me have been the problem.
What just happened there? I thought there was an out. He just touched second and threw to first. I thought that was a double play. Wait, oh, it was second and third. Oh, so he stepped on second, but there was nobody there. I mean, that's not an out. Tatis thought it was a double play ball. He stepped on second and threw to first, but the run scored. It's 2-1 now, and he thought he was throwing a double play ball. He had nobody to get. I thought it was a double play ball because I saw him touch second and throw to first, but the runners were at second and third. So now they got to run in, and they got a runner at third. I mean, the announcers are going crazy right now. Tatis thought it was a double play ball. He just was completely brain farting.
So he didn't look at the guy at third at all. He just stepped on second and threw to first?
He totally scooped the ball. It was a high chopper over the mound towards second, going up the middle. He got it out of the sky. It was a high chop. He got it in his gloves, stepped on second and threw to first. He completely freaked, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I just saw it, and they're all talking about it, so I'm not imagining things. They're like, he thought it was a double play ball. And the guy at first caught the ball, I think he thought it was too. They all thought it was in. He was like, inning over. I thought it was inning over. They fooled me too. Because you just saw the play, and he swept his foot, touched second, threw to first. You thought it was two outs. But the runners were at second and third. And then even the announcer's like, the runner at third's in. The runner at second went to third. So they didn't get it. He only got one out, the guy that hit the chopper. That was it. So now there's two outs and a runner at third. The tying run's 90 feet away. So it's a crazy end to this game. Now, you know, while we're at it, I might as well tell them, here's the deal. As far as the wild cards go, now that we can start talking about this kind of thing, Dodgers on the one, Milwaukee the other, Padres a game out, Reds two out, Cardinals 3.5 out, Philly four out. And then in the American League, Boston has it by a game and a half, Houston has the other, Cleveland's one back, Yankees four back, Toronto 6.5 back.
Four back of the wild card. I mean, honestly.
Four back of the wild card.
And that's after sweeping the Blue Jays. That's after sweeping the Blue Jays. They're still four back of the wild card.
They swept them again. They beat them tonight, huh? 8-4.
8-4.
Stanton hit a home run, the go-ahead home run in a four-run seventh inning. And they had a wacky, triple play in the game.
It was a wacky triple play, too. It was a weird
one. Like a wacky morning bit?
Yeah, it was zany radio bit type of triple play.
Like a zany morning show bit?
Yeah. And Stanton, they dusted him off tonight, huh? Stanton actually played. Good for him.
What do you mean he played? Like he just DH'd.
I mean, it's nice of him to actually be in the lineup for a couple days in a row. It's such a rare thing for Stanton to actually play a couple days in a row.
So this batter's still up. That's the thing. I'm watching this. So I just want to look at some of these other games tonight. How
about the Rockies again? The Rockies sweep the Padres, and they're kicking the Brewers' ass now tonight. The Rockies on fire out in Denver.
Yeah, too bad they're 28-41. I mean, they'd have to get hot for a month.
Nah, they're finished.
The Angels lead the Tigers 2-1 in the seventh. We got to see if your boy has done anything. They're only up 2-1, so there's no way. So he has not hit a home run. Otani, he's 0-1, and he's got two walks. How about that guy hitting 270? He's the best, I guess, you know, besides Trout, who's not playing for a month and a half. Walsh is their best hitter at 282. That's it. And then Fletcher,
Walsh had a good year.
275. But how about Otani hitting 270, a pitcher? How crazy is that?
With 20 bombs. But I like 19 bombs.
But that game's not over yet. He can still bat the rest of the game.
Yeah, they moved him into the field. That's what they usually do.
Right.
They usually move him to the field after he pitches.
So he could actually still hit a home run for us on that. Get the prop boat out. Run it around the harbor, get the twin engine in, get a little prop boat betting in. All right. And then the Rays lead the Mariners 3-1 in Seattle right now. Yankees won. Indians 10-3 over the Orioles. Giants 10-3 over the D-backs. Cubs 2-0 over the Mets. Braves 4-0 over the Cards. Astros 10-2 over the White Sox. Base hit ties the game. All right, for all on the bench. So, Carver High, let's talk about the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Obviously, some guys still have to finish, including your boy, Louis Oosthuizen, who's tied for the lead with Hotel California. Don't call me Don Henley. And Oosthuizen at 4-under, but he's through 16. He's got to play 17 and 18. A lot of guys have to finish. But what do you think of the leaderboard with Koepka, Schauffele, Matsuyama, Rahm, all two back?
Yeah, you've got some of the big names that you want for the weekend sitting right
there.
Hold on.
How about this? They blew the lead, and now a guy just hit a two-run home run off Melanson. And it's Reds 4-2 now, and they scored four runs in the ninth inning, and they're going to win this game. I mean, that is unbelievable. And I don't even know. I know I have to see who it is. And here comes the French Tingler out to get the ball from Melanson. They're going to boo him out of the place. I can't tell who hit it. India. Your boy India. He hit it out to left.
Wow, he's
boom.
Been hot too lately. Smoking hot India right now. He's been on
India
fire.
What a bomb. Four runs in the ninth off Melanson. He just, oh my God. And Musgrove, seven innings of no run ball and three walks. He gave up four hits and then it all goes down the drain. The Reds getting involved. Anyway, let's go back to the U.S. So that game just is so bad right now that they moved to the Angel game. And here's Otani giving up a bomb. It's 2-1 now over the Tigers. He's still pitching, Otani.
Is he?
Here's the deal. Yeah, he's still in the game. Now that'll be it for him. That'll be it in the sixth. So Start over. What do you think of those heavy hitters two back?
Yeah, I think it's good that you have a couple of the big guys in the mix at the top. Some of the names, of course, we were looking for, whether it be Brooks and Rahm and Xander Schauffele. We know he won't be there on Sunday in the back nine when it counts. And then you have some of these other guys who, listen, some Thursday and Friday warriors. You know, Francisco Molinari, Russell, Jack Henley, your boy Buckley here at 2-under. You know, we've got some guys who probably don't have a lot of staying power through the weekend.
Your boy Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yes, Minka Fitzpatrick. But there's, and you know what? The course really, though, today, it ate some guys up. I mean, how about, we got to talk about some of these guys who just did awful. How about Jordan Spieth with the 6 over 77 today? He could kiss his U.S. Open goodbye. See you later, Jordan. He's out of here. Webb Simpson, who me and Cam, of course, were touting an 8 over with the 79 today. Nice job by Webb. We can rip up that ticket. That one's finished. And you know, there's just a couple guys that struggled. Homa at 5 over. We liked him a lot. Phil at 4 over. Morikawa at 4 over. So there's a few guys that struggled here as well. But I like the names at the top.
But I like looking at all the guys that struggle, to be honest with you.
Now,
Your boy, Halitosis plus 4.
Because I am watching. I have the Golf Channel on now. Once the Islander game ended, I rolled over to the Golf Channel. Right. Now, Bryson DeChambeau shot 2 over today, 73. And they showed him that when they took everybody off the course, it was probably around our time, 11:15, 11:20. So you figure 8:15, 8:20 out there in La Jolla. And they, of course, had to show Bryson over at the driving range. He's still hitting, 600 balls at 8:30 at night out there, trying to get himself ready for tomorrow. Just taking all those big swings after playing 18. Let me go hit another couple hundred balls after the round, trying to keep myself loose.
What about Stuart Sinks at 2 over as well?
Yes.
Answer 2 over. Kuchar 2 over. Charlie Hoffman 1 over.
I think the guys,
one over, Bubba
the guys
one
at,
over.
The guys at 2 over or better are all very much still in the mix. I feel 2 over and better right now. You're okay. Because these guys at 4 under, Russell Henley, I don't know if he's duplicating that all weekend. Now, Louis, you got to be careful with. Louis sneaky. Okay, Louis's not one of these guys who isn't going to show up on the weekend. He was in the mix at the PGA, had an opportunity to win that. He's been in some of these tournaments a lot recently. Louis Oosthuizen, a lot of seconds in majors. He could be a breakthrough guy. He's not going to go away easily.
What about your boy Rory, 28 putts and a 71 under?
Yeah, he's right there. He's one under. He's in the mix. I thought about backing Rory this weekend. I really did. His game hasn't been awful for the past month. Of course, he had the win down there at Quail Hollow very recently. So Rory's been playing good, and I might back him tomorrow in a three ball. My three balls today were tough. I mean, I had some awful, awful breaks today. How about
three
my guy?
Deep.
My guy, Bezuidenhout. How about Bezuidenhout? He eagled.
Bezuiden adventure?
He started on 10 today. He eagles 18 to make the turn. He's at 3 under, and he's just destroying the two guys that he's playing with. This clown finished at 1 over 72. He lost 4 strokes on the back nine and lost me my three-ball ticket against Charles Schwartzel. So nice job by Bezuidenhout today, costing me a ticket. What a loser.
So tomorrow Rory's playing with DJ and Justin Rose. Was he with them today?
Yeah, he was. And Justin Rose was at the 7 over today. Nice job by him. 7 over. Get him out of here.
He get him out of here. 7 over.
Yeah, what a shame. I'm really going to miss him on the weekend. I can't stand
what happened
Justin
to,
Rose.
What happened? Like, let's look at Jordan Spieth. What happened here? He had a
rough
bogey
day.
A bogey at three, birdie at 4, double bogey at 6, bogey at 7, bogey at 9, bogey at 12, bogey at 18. What
Jeez.
A disaster.
That's a rough day. But here's the thing with Spieth. It's very weird. When he has a round like that, like, I can't completely you know, say he's out of the mix in terms of making the cut. Now, listen, he's not winning the tournament now. He's not coming back from shooting six over on day one. But could he shoot 4 or 5 under tomorrow and make the cut? Yes. He absolutely could tomorrow. That's how weird Spieth's year has been. He could absolutely do that.
So you're telling me the guy's going to go out and have that round and then turn right around and go?
I'm saying he could. He's one of the few guys of all these goons that had these awful days, these good names that had good days. Webb Simpson, bad days, I mean. Webb Simpson, Justin Rose, Spieth. Who else is pretty far out here? Who's another guy that could probably fight his way back in? I don't think so. I think Spieth's the only guy 4 over or worse. That Willie Z at 4 over. Look out. Willie Z in trouble today.
What about your boy? You said you'd never bet him again on a weekend. Is your boy Cantlay?
Oh, I can't stand that guy, Patrick Cantlay. I would never bet on him ever. There's two guys that are on the list. They'll never get a ticket from me. That's Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Those are two guys.
Do you like Tyrell Hatton? He's been playing good golf.
I do like Tyrell Hatton. I do. He kind of burned me last week. I backed him at the what was that? The Palmetto, and he didn't show up until Sunday. But I like Hatton a lot. And 1 under, I got to see who he's playing with. I forget who was in his 3 ball. I could go to him tomorrow, maybe.
So are those Molinari? Are those brothers?
Yes,
both of those
the
guys?
Brothers. Yes, the brothers Molinari.
the brothers Molinari.
About both of them in the mix. And let me just tell you something. They're both at the top of that leaderboard now. You won't see them there on Saturday. They'll both go crumbling down the ladder tomorrow.
Really?
Them, yeah.
They're disastrous.
I don't see them putting it together for a couple days in a row.
Wow. So I was sitting there. They were literally, I had the Golf Channel on. They were talking about Rory McIlroy for 5 minutes. I mean, that's a record on TV.
I just watched him hole that one from the rough. He cupped one from the rough. Great shot by Rory today.
I mean, so the Padres have a runner at second, one out, Hosmer up. He's over three, and they're down 4-2 after the India two-run bomb. Machado hit a home run the last time up, and now he's on second. I don't know if he doubled, but he's on second. And I guess Tatis already batted. He must have been the out. So, I mean, it is just crazy, that game that they – it's like I'm sitting there watching that one. I want to pull up the play-by-play. I want to see if I can get so I'm just looking at Machado. I can't even tell what happened with Tatis. Machado watched. So, oh, wait. They just hit a two-run homer. Hosmer just hit a two-run homer to tie it. You got to be kidding me. They're going crazy. They're going crazy at Petco. They're going crazy. They're going crazy. Hosmer with the deep drive. A shot. Got him. How about this game? I've had this game on for, an hour, and I've seen it all. I've seen this guy, India, hit a two-run bomb. I saw Tatis hit a home run. Machado hit a home run. They go down 4-2. And now Hosmer hits the home run to tie it up at fours in the bottom of the ninth. You got to be kidding me. And the place is absolutely going bonkers. Sold out. Petco rocking late night.
This guy's
look
still
at this shot.
Balls.
Oh, and he golfed it out to right inside the foul pole. I mean, it curved just inside the foul pole. And the bat flip was iconic. And literally a 56-degree wedge, but it was 15, 20 feet inside the foul pole. That was good to go. And your boy Machado was running with his finger up, number one. And the reliever just blew it. Oh, you're up 4-2. And Petco, you were down 2-0, and you go up 4-2 and blow it. Oh my God, I've
that's
seen
an
it
awful
all.
Job. Awful.
I have seen it all. Anyway, Tatis was his 22nd home run. And what a game. 401-foot shot by Hosmer with Machado on second, and it's 4-all there. And then Rocky 7-3 on the Brewers, bottom eight. The Angels now lead. They were up 2-1 the last time I checked. Remember, it's 7-1 now. God, when they went up 7, I wonder if your boy hit one. Let's see. No, Iglesias single to left center. And Ward homered to left center. A grand slam. Ward hit a grand slam.
Wow.
And then the Rays lead the Mariners 4-2 in the sixth. How about that Padre game, Carver High? Can you believe that? That I'm sitting here watching all this unfold in front of my very eyes.
Wild game.
So now you saw the Bucks win tonight, and they forced game 7 back in no sleep till Brooklyn. Think about this. Who's going to win that game? So tomorrow night, you got the Sixers and Hawks, game 6 in Atlanta. Philadelphia is favored by 3. Carver High, who do you like?
I don't want to take the Sixers, but man, are they really going to lose 3 in a row to this team? Or shall I say, they're going to lose 3 games in a row, blow these 2 leads, they're going to lose another game to this team. The Sixers have to find a way to win this game tomorrow. They have to.
And then Jazz and Clippers in L.A., Utah favored by 1 in game 6 there, and the Clippers can eliminate them.
I think the Clippers are going to win tomorrow night. I think it's over. I think Mitchell's banged up. I don't think that they got enough to stake. I think that the Clippers are going to get it done.
So Saturday night in primetime, they'll have the Bucks and Nets in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, and the Bucks destroyed them tonight, 104-89, and now game 7, Saturday night. By the way, tonight Durant had 32, another big game from Durant. Harden had 16, 5, and 7, but Giannis had 30. Middleton had the big game, 38. Holiday had 21. That's all they needed. You get three guys over 20, one guy over 20, two guys over 30, it's lights out. 104-89, I hit that bet to win and laid the 5.5. And now they go to Saturday night in Brooklyn. Who wins game 7?
I think the Nets win. Nets get it done. Durant's going to carry them on the back again.
So Durant gets it done on Saturday night, prime time.
Bucks have no heart. They go down on Saturday night.
And you hate the Bucks.
Ah, do I ever.
All right, tomorrow, Montreal and Vegas in Montreal at the Bell Center. Game 3, who do you like?
I got a funny feeling that the Habs are going to win tomorrow.
So do I. All right, we're live at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast. Crazy show tonight. I'll see you tomorrow, Carver. Hi, great job. I'll see you tomorrow as well on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Check it out.